time for the Susan Taylor Podcast, where we discuss the yoga of mind, medicine, and healing. Author of Feeling Good Matters, Sexual Radiance, and the Vital Energy Program, Dr. Taylor imparts authentic knowledge and practical tools that inspire, educate, and empower us to be a healing force for positive change. So join us and take your life and our planet to the next level.
Hello, and welcome to episode 62, Are We Entering a New Age of Anxiety? There's an estimated 40 million Americans, that's about 18% of the population, over the age of 18 that struggles with anxiety, including more than half of all American college students. In today's episode, I'd like to discuss anxiety as the new depression, causes of anxiety, and some anxiety-free living solutions. Let's look at the current landscape first. You know, our balance of peace and harmony in nature and society is actually disrupted with this seemingly never-ending war and threats of new wars. In fact, we've been at war for over a decade and a half, having faced two recessions in that time frame, and we've also had to adjust to a swiftly changing digital landscape, which in turn has changed how we work and interact. I'm trying to lay the foundation for really where this whole anxiety issue is coming from. You know, because we also feel the threat of recessions, we're bombarded by social media and digital landscape, and that continues to take over our social interactions and human relationships. Think about it, even our president has been known to tweet at 3 a.m. in the morning. So everyone's doing it in this digital landscape that we've created. The entire landscape of turning outside of ourselves for peace and prosperity has actually backfired at this point, and it's also changed how we work and interact with our jobs, our friends, our family, and communities. All of these habits that we've created have taken hold and actually feed our insecurity and anxiety. And we see it. It's not me telling you anything new, but it's a real problem now, and it didn't just start today. It's been ongoing. You know, you may have heard it said that anxiety is the new depression, with more than half of the American college students reporting anxiety. That's pretty serious now. And recent research shows that anxiety, which is characterized by constant and overwhelming worry and fear, is now at 800% being more prevalent than all forms of cancer. When I saw that statistic, I thought, wow, that's pretty incredible. You know, data from the National Institute of Mental Health suggests that the prevalence of anxiety disorders, you know, I gave that in the beginning, maybe as high as 40 million. And that's very, very common. And it's the most common mental illness in the nation when we're talking about the NIMH, which is the National Institute of Mental Health. So the question I pose is, have we entered a new age of anxiety? You know, some say yes and consider it the norm. Normal living now is unhealthy living in this day and age. You know, people say they want to be normal. Who would want to be normal because it's unhealthy? But it appears that this era of anxiety is self-created. And what I mean by that is we have the responsibility of doing something about it. Because what happens is we have this external driven gratification that we need and we sought. We create all these habits to be externally gratified. And it's created a global unrest that could only be addressed if we get to the root of the problem. And that requires each person taking the responsibility to make that change. Because on the outside, it's too large an issue to deal with. We have to go individually and do it within ourselves. But you have to also bring it to the awareness of people. There's a big difference between inner development and outer development. And the problem we have is we're fantastic when it comes to technology. The outer development is fantastic, but we have starvation on the inner development. And that's where science meets spirituality. If we were to be at the same level with our spiritual quest on the inside that we have as external technology, wow, this would be a wonderful, wonderful time of our lives right now. You know, you've heard me say that our minds have been hijacked, and in turn, we've become addicted to our habits, our digital habits, our habits of thinking, habits of entitlement, habits of not knowing who we are. You know, we've become lost in this abyss of darkness at many levels. And I'm not here to paint a negative picture, but I just really want to embrace what's going on right now. And, you know, what are the signs? You know, people say that it's very hard to detect, you know, psychiatrists have mentioned, it's hard to really diagnose and see if someone has anxiety, you know. But I say, if your eyes are well trained and you're aware, you can watch the subtle patterns of a person. But with that, as I mentioned, everything does, you know, medical people, everything is done on computers now, that even practitioners are so hurried and computerized themselves that it's very difficult to detect, to see that everyone suffers from anxiety. On some level, there's an unrest. That's the way I'm defining it in this case when I say everyone has that little bit of unrest. And not everyone, of course, nothing's 100%. You know, I've worked with several people who appear calm on the outside, but inside you could see the mind churning with worry and uneasiness. And physical symptoms, of course, appear. You know, people say, well, they don't know, they can't see. Of course they appear. And guess what? They appear in the digestive system. That's the classic sign. How many can really make that connection? Well, not many, because it's so subtle at first, but it requires awareness and attention to that awareness. And we choose to ignore it in most cases because our habits turn us away. We know it's happening, but we'd much rather take something that's a quick fix to, you know, for a stomach upset, for example. Remember, if the stomach is upset, the mind is upset. Remember, mind and body are one. Let's take a look at some overall causes. If desired, write to me and I'll do more specifically on each topic in future podcasts. But let's take a look generally. What are some of the causes that would cause this unrest, this worry, this fear? You know, I mentioned the war in the beginning, digital, et cetera, et cetera. But let's get real specific of what can really cause the upset of our homeostatic essence of who we are in a balanced state. We could talk about genetics, brain chemistry, personality, and life events, because they all play a role in development of anxiety disorders. But keep in mind, stress is the common trigger. And what is stress? Stress is a perceived threat. I just finished the resilience training program, the online version. And what was so interesting is my whole theme is everybody wants to bounce back and become resilient, but my reasoning is, why have to bounce back? What are you bouncing back from? If you're not perceiving these things as threats, then there's nothing to bounce back from. So if we don't perceive the world as a threat, then we don't create stress. There's nothing to bounce back from to be resilient. So the point I'm making here is anxiety comes from stress. Stress is one of the roots. Stress means feeling threatened. That's where the worry comes from. So until we become established in our being, these threats will always appear. You can do all these little things, and there's many techniques, you know, that people play with to work with anxiety, but you need to root it up. Everything needs to be rooted. We need to build that foundation. So let me get back to you. You know, anxiety is the normal response to stress, but in some people, anxiety becomes overwhelming and difficult to cope with, and we know that. And, you know, people have, you know, drawn conclusions of how the brain reacts to stress and how anxiety, that anxiety response is triggered. I'll just review that, the science for you. For just a moment here. You know, there's several parts of the brain and they're key actors in that production of fear and anxiety. Science and research has discovered that the amygdala and hippocampus play significant roles in most anxiety disorders. The amygdala is believed to be the communication hub between parts of the brain that process incoming sensory signals and parts that interpret these signals. Again, there you have that interpretation that has to take place. It can alert the rest of the brain that a threat is present and trigger a fear or anxiety response. You know, the emotional memories are stored in the central part of the amygdala, and they may play a role in anxiety disorders involving very distinct fears, such as, you know, people have fear of dogs, cats, spiders, fear of flying, fear of heights, even fear of the dark. You know, the hippocampus is the part of the brain that encodes threatening events into memories. Remember, I've spoken about stress shrinking our hippocampus when I did the master meditation training course. So stress has always been a very commonality because that's what's really prevalent in our society right now. A number of other situations and underlying issues can also contribute to the problem, from toxic environmental chemicals, improper diet and nutrition, too much electronic exposure, and one of my favorites is improper breathing. You know, people don't know how to breathe because if you are breathing properly, you're not going to have that trigger fear response because you're not going to allow the nervous system to get out of whack. You know, breathing is a core, as it's always at the core root of the problem. Now, we know that the mind affects our breathing because we can consciously affect our breathing. And again, those of you that are on this in this episode and you've trained with me before, you know how much emphasis we put on breathing. And, you know, most people hold their breath, for example, at a computer when they're when they're texting. That little bit of breath holding causes a jerk. It's something that happens to the body when the breath stops for that moment. The subtle energy of your own mind triggers, it's a trigger for a threat because there's no breath, right? When breath leaves, we leave our body. And so what happens is when there's that little subtle, very so subtle pause in the breath, that's like a little mini death for us. And we don't calculate it that way, but that's what causes it. So we need to learn smooth, even breathing using the diaphragm as a muscle. So there is good news. We can bring our mind back to home base in a threatening situation and turn ourselves around if we have the precision, concentration, and practice of breathing correctly. And again, I'm not talking about speaking as a false prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. I'm really speaking because it's something that we can do within ourselves and we can start mastering our own health and not succumb to really what's going on in our environment. And there are those treatments available, but are they effective in rooting up the cause? And what are the solution? Well, is the solution a fidget spinner? I did some research on that. And it was very interesting. It allows us to endlessly take that untamed energy and channel it. Well, is that true? Well, I'm not sure because I haven't used a fidget spinner and I don't plan on going and getting one. But I can tell you that there are no definitive peer-reviewed studies. Again, I can't make an evaluation on that for anyone, but there's no peer-reviewed studies that really talk about this. But again, that doesn't mean it doesn't work. Do the research on yourself and see for yourself. So we know that breathing has a direct influence on anxiety. I can't really say that the fidget spinner does because I haven't done that as a practice for myself. And we talked about breathing. Also, another very, very helpful tip for working with anxiety is being in nature. Addressing our breathing, we know, and when we're in nature, we can practice breathing, but also environmental nature sounds. You know, previous research has demonstrated that listening to nature sounds helps you recover faster after stressful events. So if we go to parks or create a natural sanctuary on your patio, for example, or indoors. I know in the home that I'm dwelling in now, I've created also a sanctuary in one part of the room with the plants, and it's quite peaceful there. You could create that within your home. It's very good to be outside also. You know, you can hook into, of course, YouTube has those nature sounds. However, keep in mind, again, artificially doing these kinds of things is not the same as being out and communing with nature. It doesn't have that same organic effect that we have when we go for a walk in nature. The same with another factor is regular exercise and daily movement helps with anxiety. And again, it's okay to do it in a gym or in your home, but when you're out in nature, you have the benefit. And the colors of nature are incredible, and the mind will take that in as a sensory. You're feeding your mind. Remember, we talk about feeding the mind, and it's very, very soothing to the mind. We also know that training our mind through meditation and its practice is essential to having lasting results for a calm and one-pointed mind. Also, another little helpful tidbit would be optimizing your gut microbiome. We know that gastrointestinal abnormalities have been linked to a variety of psychological problems, including anxiety and depression. And it's well established that the vagus nerve is the primary route from your gut to transmit information to your brain. And guess what? With proper breathing, we're back to stimulating the vagus nerve, which is a nerve. It's your relaxation nerve. Think of it that way. It's a calming nerve. You know, we also talked about diet and nutrition. You know, curbing our sugar and processed foods has totally been shown in research that can have a profound effect on your mental health. And also nutrient imbalances, and that's the area that I love to work with magnesium, vitamin D, B vitamins, omega-3s, all of those. See, so it's not one thing. It's not just one diet. Follow the keto diet or the paleo diet or this vitamin's going to work or this is going to do it. I just had someone the other day saying, yeah, I got on this and all of a sudden I was cured. That's fantastic. But don't count on one little thing doing that for you. We also need to get plenty of restorative rest and pay attention to your electromagnetic field, your EMFs. You know, whenever we're around all of that all day, digital computers everywhere we go, we're getting bombarded. Even in our cars, when you leave the airplane mode off, you're getting bombarded with signals. Well, guess what? After a while, that's going to affect the nerve pathways. They've done research on that where it will actually work with the ion channels within the body itself. So we must learn to cope and adapt and deal with that. In our home, we turn the apparatuses off at a certain time at night. We've even found that our animals will rest so much differently, so much differently when these devices, the Wi-Fi is turned off at the end of the evening. And I have found that with myself. And the last thing I'd like to say that may affect anxiety levels is evaluating your toxic exposures. A common symptom of toxic mold exposure is anxiety. And you can ask yourself if there's any other kind of pattern. You know, do your symptoms improve when you spend time away from your home or your office, for example, in that building where there might be some problem with toxic exposure? Just something to keep in mind for yourself. And just last but not least, don't underestimate the value of social interactions face-to-face. And I don't mean social media. It's the lack of social interaction that's become so widespread. And some establishments have actually taken their Wi-Fi off, you know, when you go in there, having a Wi-Fi free zone. It's well worth looking into some of these things that will help you with any kind of fear-related issue that might have just started popping up. Because anxiety can significantly reduce your quality of life. And like mindfulness and spiritual pursuits, our social interaction does help foster meaningful and purpose in life itself. You know, meaning and purpose in life is very, very important. And it actually protects and improves our mental health. But always keep in mind, learn the practices of meditation so that you could attend to your own mind and you could become established in being. And once you're established in being, nothing can really knock you out of orbit and get you into a state where it takes a little bit more time to recover. Well, that brings me to the end of this episode. And if you'd like to be notified weekly for new podcasts, please subscribe. The Susan Taylor Podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, also on YouTube. And you can also contact me at susantaylor.org. And you can click on the podcast to subscribe there. And please, if you have any questions, any comments, send them my way. I'd love to talk about them. If you'd like me to further go into anxiety and the separate sections of anxiety in several episodes, I would be more than happy to do that. So again, you can contact me at susantaylor.org. Until next time, remain calm, consciously aware, living in the moment.